Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of the Service Without Excuses podcast. We're recording episode number two for season number two here on a nice chilly January Saturday morning here in New Jersey. Glad to be with you. We are going through some craziness right now in the country, and I'm not going to get into anything political, but we'll talk about something that really is kind of important. We've seen it done throughout the years, and we've seen companies built based on this premise to have it done. But one of the things I want to talk about today, and I'll pull it over my little iPad notes. We'll stand right there. Why a sense of urgency is so important more than ever right now. With a sense of urgency, it's more important now than ever. Our clients are going through so many things with the pandemic, lack of companies able to service their needs, lack of being able to get what they need. It's been said, and I would agree, that building a business in a down market is one of the best times you can do so. One reason for that is you're starting the benchmark in a turmoil-based business world. Companies like Amazon, as a very good example, really fit the entire enterprise based on a sense of urgency, giving the customers exactly what they are looking for and what they are paying for, which is very important. Examples of what products they can get in stock or can get from their third-party distributors very, very quickly with a fast turnaround to the end consumer, that being us. Even though many times you're paying more for that product, which you are many times through Amazon, you are getting it for a premium. You're getting the service and the product you are trying to get and expect to get, which is very, very important. Something really to think about. Customers pay for in-demand things. I worked for a company, a large carpet cleaning franchiser years ago, and the gentleman, I can't say he invented this, but he definitely put it on the map when it came to our industry, was the sense of same-day service, being able to go out and do a job the same day. Customers call up and say, hey, I've got three rooms of carpet, and I've got new furniture being delivered later on today or tomorrow morning. Do you guys have any available appointments today? And he noticed a trend with this over and over again. And of course, he's not the only one. It's a common denominator by many companies having that particular effect. The important thing with our industry was that he knew he could get a niche of customers that would pay more money and not fight be price resistant as much based on having them take something the same day or being able to deliver the product and service the same day. Is that important? I could tell you that we probably booked, and nowhere to lie, $100,000 worth of that work every single year for a small business that was huge. Many businesses, they don't do $100,000, and we would do that in same-day service work, probably more than not, just because they were spending more money for the convenience of having you come out and do something the same day. I'm not saying you got to offer same-day service. I'm just using an example. But having a sense of urgency when customers call, a big thing is picking up the phone. I wouldn't think that'd be a big thing, but it still is a big thing, and it's gotten only worse with the pandemic going on right now. We're roaring into 2021, January of 2021. So we're going almost a year into this. It started right around March of last year that we know of. At least that's when things started to really change, about mid-March. So we're almost celebrating a year, if you want to call it celebrating. We're almost crossing a year with this. And when it first went down, you couldn't get a lot of items. You couldn't get things like toilet paper. You couldn't get paper towels. You couldn't get cleaners. You couldn't get sanitizer. You couldn't get disinfecting wipes. You couldn't get anything that you really needed, the essentials in the house, because everybody was raiding the grocery store almost like it was the end of the world. Because at that time, many people probably thought it was. Because the pandemic had just shut everything down. Everybody was going to be homebound. The supply and demand was going to be so high for those major products. And companies like Amazon, as I mentioned in the first post, were giving people what they needed. Now, they were very smart about it in the very beginning. They took it and said, we're going to only deliver guaranteed delivery on items that you're essential, that you need. They're going to go to other people first, and then those are the first items we're going to focus on. They didn't say we're going to focus on getting a flat screen TV, even though they would still try to get you one. They just were not going to focus on that particular thing, making it, making the menu option, so to speak, narrowed. One of the things we noticed is when the restaurants opened back up, their menu options were mostly limited, and Amazon did the same thing. They kept their menu down to a small amount, but they were able to deliver on their promises that way by not saying, I'm going to get you your flat-screen TV that you're so worried about because you're going to be stuck in your house for, the end of eternity, so to speak. They were able to get you the products and stuff that you actually needed right then and there. And that was very crucial to their beginning to growth. Now, obviously, companies like Amazon, Walmart, the big corporations, the big companies really made a killing on this because they were able to, the supply and demand for their particular products, they could buy. Not only could they buy them cheaper, not necessarily less expensive at the time for them, but they could get the products to the customer, still making a nice, healthy profit because the supply and demand had changed. It's the simple thing is if you like omelets and you're the only guy selling eggs in a town, you're probably going to do okay when everybody wants omelets or everybody needs toilet paper, so to speak, or paper towels. If you're the only person selling these products, they don't become commodities anymore. They become urgencies. And you have the high track of supply and demand. My point of saying this is when it comes to the level of urgency with your customer, that's what they need. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me or any of my office staff in per se that thank you for answering or thank you for getting back to me. Now, I really have to, I want you to think about that persona for a second, that statement for a second. I want to thank you for getting back to me. How low has it become when a customer thanks you for doing your job? Thanks you for calling them back for them to give you work to be paid for. I always say thank you, I appreciate that, but that's my job. And it is. They're calling you. You've probably spent some money. You've probably spent some marketing dollars. You've probably done a great job in a customer's or client's home in the past. That's made it possible for your reputation to be delivered to these customers, whether that be online or offline, in a very serious manner that they think about calling you and hiring you to do the work in their home. Because they've trusted you as one of their almost trusted advisors to come in and do the work in their home, you should be thankful. Because it's the truth. They don't. Nobody has to call you. You know, you're sending the message out. If you're sending it out correctly, people are going to call you. If you don't send it at all, well, the same. So you have to be able to understand the philosophy behind that. They're thankful when you call back. We've dropped so low that that is a big thing. Now, that could be professional courtesy. That could be professional just being a nice person, and that's awesome, but they don't owe you a thank you for doing your job. You need to have the sense of urgency enough to pick up the phone, to answer their questions. I don't care if you're in the middle of doing 10 things. That is important. Obviously, it's hard to juggle 10 things and answer your customers' or clients' questions. I know it. I have to do it myself. You are multitasking. Learn it. And it's part of being a business. And if you have that problem, you have less of another problem, which means your opportunities and work. So I would say, in particular, that you should take that as a way to grow your business. Having a sense of urgency, answering the customers and clients' questions is huge. Just because you're a professional, you're the trusted advisor, as Jay Abraham would say it. He says a client is under the care and protection of a professional. I'm probably screwing that up when it comes to exactly what he said, but essentially the same words. They're under the care and protection of you as a professional. They're hiring you to do the work. They're hiring you to do the work well. They're hiring you to do the work quickly, efficiently, and at a reasonable price that they can afford and get their house back in order. That's your whole job. And if you can do that, if you can bring that product, as you know how I feel, services are more commodities, even though I say it's service without excuses, I'm more into the fact that you are not a commodity, that you are a trusted advisor, that you are going in and doing the work correctly and efficiently and affordably to your customers to give them the asset that you are delivering and give them the end product they are paying you for. Think about that for a second. Now, all you've got to do is quickly and efficiently answer the questions. You should want to be efficient with this time anyway because you want to get back to doing what else you're doing. You don't want to spend too much time on the phone. Now, we've all had them. We've had customers and potential clients that will call and say, ask a million questions and keep you on the phone forever when the phone's ringing like crazy. We've all had that. And you could be tactful. There are very tactful ways to say this. Ma'am, sir, do you mind if I give you a phone call back? Our phone's a little crazy today, but I'll be glad to answer any questions or go over anything with you. 9 to 10 times you say, no, we're good. We're fine. Thank you so much. I'll see you Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever you've predetermined the schedule to be. They'll say that, and it's perfectly fine. But there are times where they still have more questions, and you have to be, as the professional, the trusted advisor, as we just talked about, able to give them the answers they are looking for in an efficient, quick manner. Having a sense of urgency means you're getting them what they need so they can go on with their day and you can go on with your day. Being fast doesn't mean anything to me. Being inefficient does. And I'm going to explain the difference, and I'm going to go a little bit into detail with this. Doing something quickly is just getting out there and spitting it out and not worrying about necessarily getting the greatest results. It's just your speed and your time is essential. So if you're a racer, if you're a runner, and you have to run a quarter mile, you're worried about your speed because you're doing something that's task-oriented to be marked as being as fast as possible. If you were the same runner and you're being efficient, you might think, I need to have the right shoes, the right clothes. I need to make sure my body is nourished correctly, that I have prepared everything, that I've stretched correctly so I can run correctly. That's being efficient with your time. If you don't do those things when you start to do the sprint and the run, you're going to be less efficient, less effective. So that's probably, to me, a really decent example of what the one versus the other. You will get a lot further with your speed if you're more efficient with your planning, more efficient with your time, more efficient with your process, so to speak. Efficiencies are huge. One of the things I do with companies when I work with them is I look at the inefficiencies I just talked about in the last podcast, somebody laying floor. And my inefficiencies I primarily look at are service-based businesses, plumbers, heating, air conditioning, electricians, flooring guys, carpet cleaners, restoration companies, many times is process management. I have to look at something and say, is that a complete waste of time? Is it a complete waste of, or is it the only way you can do this correctly? Is it the most efficient way to do something? Because time is money, period, in this world. Time is money. If I spend too much time, or one of our technicians spend too much time in a house, and they're actually breaking even or even worse, by the end of the job, then it's not a profit center. We can't do that. We have to be efficient with our time. We don't have to be quick with our time. We're not going to go in there and do the job quickly. We want to be efficient. We want to make sure we plan the job out correctly. We have systems and processes, things just like most other businesses do, that we go in, we got to move furniture, we're going to pull the furniture out first so we can get those areas, put them back in place so they're not in our way to make us inefficient when it comes to coming back to that area. There are ways to do those things. We know that. Everybody's business has the efficiencies to it. Going back to what I was talking about before with a sense of urgency, there's no difference with that. When you're on the phone, you need to ask very detailed questions. When you're in a customer's home or you're doing an estimate or doing an audit or whatever you want to call it, you have to be efficient with your questions. You have to get right to the point and not necessarily technical speak that you understand, but proper speak that your clients and customers understand. They don't care that you're going to be using a truck mount extractor. They don't care that you're going to be using a high velocity dehumidifier. They don't care that you're going to be using better wiring or better circuits. They don't care that you're going to be using better parts on the air handler they have or on the boiler they have. They don't care about those things. They just care about a result. As we were talking the other day when I originally did a podcast, and we're going to re-record it here shortly, with Clark Brown about inefficiencies in a business, and people they're very focused on the technical side, you know, as a restorer, as a contractor, but the customers don't care. They don't care that you put extra wiring in. They don't care that you grounded it correctly. They don't care that you soldered it correctly. They don't care that you put a GFCI in an area where it needed to be. They don't care about those things unless they're a real technical person, which is, you know, 10% of the public or less. They care that you're doing the job correctly, that you're able to give them the product and service that they are doing at an efficient, not quickly, rate, and at an affordable rate. It all starts with that sense of urgency. It all starts with getting out of bed in the morning and jumping and getting at it. And if you have that mentality that you're customer-centric or client-centric, as I call it, I think that's going to be a new word, client-centric. If you're at the point where you are so focused on making sure that the client is the obsession, that they are the prize, that without them you can't do or grow what you want to grow, you can't provide the opportunities to your technicians and employees that you want to be able to do, you're not going to build a business without that. We are a 2.5-year-old business with over 300 reviews. Does that mean something? It does. It means that 300 people took their time to write reviews in 2.5 years. Now, we ask for reviews, full disclosure. We do ask for them. We didn't for many in the beginning, and now we got much more as being a process that everybody gets those reviews because we want the feedback. It's not just the reviews online for other customers to read. Really, they can read 10 reviews and go, okay, this guy's either legit or he's not legit. They don't need 300 to make that decision. But it does make a difference if you're going online, you're looking at it, and you go, well, there's 4 companies here, and three of them have 3 reviews, and one guy has 300 reviews. And even though they're 5 stars and his is 4.9, he has 300 of them. They're probably more legit. They're not going to read again through more than 10. So it's really just a base point. I could have 5,000 on there, and that does look more impressive when you first look at it, but they're not going to look at all 5,000 reviews. If they do, God bless. You know, that's what they're into doing, and going that far to do that much due diligence, if you want to call it a research, then great. But most customers won't do that. They're just going to look at some feedback you get at the beginning and go, yeah, you're legit or you're not legit. You're either a professional or you're not a professional. Either reliable or you're not reliable. And it's going to go back to that sense of urgency, having that information out there. Everything we do in our business is a system, from the marketing, from our daily operations, from our planning, our strategic planning, from the flow of work during the day. It's one thing when you work for a company that I run and many people that I respect run, they want an efficient run operation. They want to know that you can get down and get it done. A big thing is, as you saw in the beginning, I make notes. I use that Evernote I always talk about. I love it. You can plan everything out in that. It takes no time at all to write down how I want to plan this. But I want to make sure when I'm on here and I'm talking in a podcast to you that I'm being very efficient with my time. I want to know that you are getting the maximum amount of information in the shortest piece of time. I don't want to go an hour on a podcast. If I'm interviewing somebody, that's fine. But for me, it's pointless. You don't want to listen to me talk for, and maybe you do, but you have better things to do with your time. I promise you that. You just want to get the most important information that is going to impact your life and your business as efficiently and as urgently as possible. All right, that's food for thought for today. Excuse me. Episode number 2, season number 2 of the Service Without Excuses podcast, where we are talking about, does a sense of urgency matter anymore? I'd say a sense of urgency right now in 2021, January of 2021, coming into areas where we're going to have tools and things and shots and stuff that are going to help hopefully tear down this pandemic that we're going through right now. You're going to have the ability to get that, get your shots, get things to vaccines, as I guess they want to call them. If you're doing that, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I'm not going to say there's something wrong with the shots. I'm for them personally, but that's a personal choice. You want to make sure that you can do what you need to do, make your notes, come to people with information, give your clients and customers information as quickly, as efficiently as possible with a sense of urgency to their needs. Realize also, and I don't want to go too much further into this, that a sense of urgency is also when you're in a client's and customer's home, predominantly the businesses we work with and we talk about are home services. Some are business services, but many are home services. I'd say it's an 80-20, maybe 85-15 percentage, but they're mostly home services businesses that we talk to and that we work with in our consulting firm and that I try to talk to here in the podcast. That's the area of expertise I have, is the home services predominantly, but that does involve some businesses too as well. That if a customer has a sense of this wire over here is blinking when I go to plug something in, that lights are blinking, that there might be a short. Their sense of urgency is that particular socket has a bad ground into it, isn't set up correctly, is loose, the wire is loose, which is a danger to anybody. Understand, identify those sense of urgency issues. It's not just you answering the phone, answering questions. It's what their concerns are most important about and their sense of urgency. Like, I need all this done. I got to have 8 or 10 things rewired, but this one over here is shorting out when I turn it on. I'm worried about burning my house down, things of that nature. So that's their sense of urgency, and you need to be able to identify what those sense of urgencies are going forward. So thank you again for joining us on episode number 2, season number 2 of Service Without Excuses podcast, where we talked about the sense of urgency, why it's more important in 2021 than ever in history. All right, have a great day, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll come to you really soon. Thanks.